Welcome to a new episode of the Rebel Radio Podcast. Hello.
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 Hello. Hello.
I was waiting for that.
Hi.
One day I'm not even going to say welcome to the Rebel Radio Podcast. We're just going to open with the...
You've got nails.
The voice of an angel.
The voice of an angel. Isn't that Cedar?
LT Prime.
LT Prime?
It's LT. Primatron.
Primatron. We've extended
it. I'm sure somewhere in some language it's too sexual.
Probably. Meaning. In Australia it probably not means really. Some kind of sexual deviant word or something.
Right. Yeah. Arrest him.
Arrest him. Or Canada. There we go. In Canada, the worst thing, you know, that they hear is drive-by disagreements. You know?
A.
Yep, A.
The artist formerly known as Evil Dr. Tran.
Yes.
Yeah. Because I changed that because apparently there's a YouTube video cartoon that's called Evil Dr. Tran.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Did you receive a cease and desist letter or something?
No. I've had... The Evil Dr. Tran mix. I can't believe I'm
this. Tran Train.
Yeah, Evil Dr. Tran name for 20 plus years. Yeah. And I use it as a gaming handle and as like a freaking doctor, not a 007 Bond villain.
Yeah.
But it's like, screw it.
You know what you should have done? You should have gotten yourself a blue check mark. I need a reboot. Keep it. Get yourself a blue check mark, and then make them pay you.
Yeah.
To shut up.
I gather speed for a long time as gamer handles and Twitter, and I unofficially produce our podcasts and my website's under I Gather Speed Productions. I don't know why. It's not like a real company. It just sounds cool to have.
Yeah.
And it's a Pearl Jam reference because as everyone that knows me knows, I'm like. A huge Pearl Jam fan. It's a lyric from one of their songs, and I don't know. I always just use I Gather Speed, and then over here we have Electric Monkey.
That's right.
He uses on his social
media. I haven't heard that in a while.
Yeah. Yep, it's like the slang for a dildo, like an electric one,
or a fleshlight.
Yep, a fleshlight. Yes, a Peter North fleshlight.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Whoa. I mean, no. I would hope you wouldn't even be thinking about
Matt the pervert.
Just kidding. Yeah. Who's that?
My son used the word pervert the other day. I was like, you don't even know what a pervert is.
Yeah.
I was like, what?
He's like it's a Foot Clan member or something.
I wanted to add in this little intro that last week in our Jaws episode, I forgot to talk about the surge of clone movies that came out.
In
response to Jaws, like creature features that were copycat movies. Now, these weren't shark movies, you know, like I was, you know, alluding to.
Yeah.
But these were movies that were based on different animals. And I'll just run down the list. There, I have eight. Let's see. Eight was Tentacles. So you can kind of
Tentacles.
Imagine. Yeah, and it starred Henry Fonda.
Wow.
He was in
it. Oh, wow. I thought it was like some hentai movie or something.
No. It's about a... I don't know what it is. Seven was Great White, of course. That was an Italian knockoff movie. Number six was Orca. That came out in 1977, right. Starring Richard Harris. Number five was Barracuda.
Okay.
Came out in 1978. Four, I remember this one so much. Devilfish, a.k.a. Monster Shark from 1984. This is an Italian production. I remember this thing was like a half octopus with a mouth on its head. And
that's weird.
Chewed people to death. You should look it up. And then number three was Grizzly.
Oh, I can't remember that.
I think I remember Grizzly.
Yeah.
That was on Netflix at one point, I think.
Yeah, that one came out in 1976. Number two, Alligator, came out in 1980. Yes!
I knew one.
Yeah. I know there was more than one alligator movie.
There was. There was three.
Yeah. I know one of them was based in the swamp, of course.
Yes.
And then number one, of course, was Piranha.
Yes, Piranha.
Yeah.
I knew the top two. At least I knew the
That
top
was directed
top.
By Joe Dante.
Joe Dante. What else did he do?
He went on to...
Gremlins.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And Toy Soldiers.
I can see. Oh, Toy Soldiers. Yeah.
Yeah. And Piranha 2 was James Cameron.
Yep.
That's right.
Yeah.
Remember Piranha 3DD with David Hasselhoff and Gary Busey?
That was terrible. Yeah, I actually rented it just out of... Cause, okay. The first Piranha movie that came out a few years ago with Riley Steele in it and had porn stars in it and stuff, it actually was like not bad entertainment. It was okay. But the sequel, my God, they weren't even trying at that point.
Yeah.
Like, piranhas coming out of vaginas and catching bloody heads in between giant boobs. It was just... It was so bad. It's one of those movies you watch and you just, like, you purposely make fun of.
I remember watching some of those movies on that list on local TV. Mm, they would come on once in a while.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I feel like UPN played a lot of these
before there was UPN.
Or C horror movies. And they were like, you know, there was like Dead House. And I remember watching them as a kid. And,
Pumpkinhead.
Pumpkinhead. I remember Pumpkinhead. Wasn't the top billed actor that played Bodie, Sheriff Bodie in Pumpkinhead, or am I thinking of somebody else?
Brody, you mean?
Brody, Sheriff Brody.
I don't know.
I want to say he was in Pumpkinhead.
I know he was in Sequest DSV, the science fiction underwater futuristic show. He was a captain for the first two seasons. Yeah.
Nice. It was going to look it up now. About that.
Sequest DSV. That's pretty cool. It was an NBC science fiction show.
Now, Lance Henriksen was in Pumpkinhead.
Okay.
That's who you're thinking of. They kind of look alike.
They do. Don't they kind of look alike?
Yeah.
Not really.
Like, maybe they could be brothers?
But I could see how you could confuse them, you know.
Yeah.
Man. Yeah. But anyway, good call. That was good. There were a lot of copycats. Like, now it seems like the Sci-Fi Channel is taking over doing, like, these copycat movies, like, all these overseas productions of, like, different versions. Like, there's a movie instead of the Terminator, it was the Terminators.
Yeah.
And I remember I was watching a Sci-Fi show, it's the exact same plot as the Terminator, except there's multiple Terminators.
Didn't Russia come out with its own, like, knockoff Avengers team, too?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
At one point.
I forgot what it was called. Night Stalkers, but I forgot the name of it.
Yeah, I remember what you're talking about, though.
Yeah.
It came out a few years ago.
Night Force or something.
Yeah. But who knows? There will always be bad movies made as long as someone has a camera and a computer and tries to do special effects. Like, I tried to watch The Toxic Avenger the other day, and I was like, wow, this is so terrible. But people are really into that trauma stuff. Like, I just can't get into it. I was just curious. I was like, yeah, I'm going to watch some of this.
I remember the Tromaville cartoon during Saturday mornings.
Mm-hmm.
Toxic Avenger or something like that.
Was it like the Toxic Crusaders?
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
Like there was a whole team of them?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's on, it might actually be on Amazon Prime where you can watch it, I believe.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Who knows? So, how was y'all's weeks, guys?
Not bad.
Good weeks.
It was good.
It went by really quick.
It really did. We are recording on a Friday.
Yeah.
So, it's the day
earlier. Mowed the lawn earlier.
It felt long for me just because I went back to work. So, it felt like a longer week than usual.
There you go.
But I guess it did kind of go by fairly quick. Very busy. As people that might listen to the show know that, you know, I'm co-running the Compalooza podcast program this year with our friend Erica from Raging Nerds, and so we've been busy this week gearing up for that because we start sending out.
She's single?
No.
So, okay.
So we start sending out the acceptance letters next week for the shows that are going to be accepted, and our show will be there, you know, so we will be at Compalooza, of course, as we've talked about. And at the end of the show, we're going to announce, we're starting to gear up for it. We've got a big special month plan next month, and we'll talk about that later as we get ready for gearing up the next 6 weeks for Compalooza ourselves. So it should be fun. But yes, it was, I guess it was kind of a quick week, but also a very tiring week going back to work. You know, it always sucks going back to work after being on vacation. You're like, fuck this. Get up at 5 in the morning, you know, drag your feet, drink some coffee.
Mm-hmm.
People want to talk to you at 6. You're like, fucking talk to me for like an hour. You know? Like, I got to wake up a little bit. So, but, you know, back to the grind it is. So, nothing exciting, Matt, in your week?
Not really. I mean, I watched the movie in question.
Well, we haven't done download this yet. Slow down.
That doesn't count towards download this. That's like, that'd be mailing it in if I did that, you know. Yeah. But, yeah, I didn't do much more. I did download stuff, but I will, you know, I'll save it for download this.
We are on download this.
We are?
No, we're not. We're not officially. Yeah. I haven't officially announced it.
Yeah, we haven't officially announced it.
I thought that's what we've been talking about this whole time.
No, I said how your week's been.
Heck no.
Oh.
We're just in pre...
This is where we start
losing listeners. Let's get to download this.
Let's get to download this.
Download this.
Where we tell people what we've consumed into our brains this week by watching, streaming, playing.
Nothing. Next, Matt.
There went another listener.
There we go.
Not me. I've done nothing except buying Transformers.
So you've streamed eBay?
I did, sort of.
Remember when eBay was trying to get more popular, and then there was that song, Do You Know the Way to eBay?
I don't remember that.
To use eBay.
I don't remember that at all.
No. It was the, you know, Do You Know the Way to San Jose? But do you know the way to use eBay? No.
Not ringing a bell, though.
I remember. I remember random things like Pepperidge Farm. I downloaded Amazon Flex. Yeah?
Oh, yeah.
There we go.
To deliver packages?
Yep. Walk up to doors, you know.
I can't find that app.
It's you have to start a waiting period, and then...
Well, that you have to do it from your computer, and it sends it to your phone.
Yeah.
You actually can't go on your phone and just find it.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, it punches in your phone number or something, if I remember right how I did it, and it sends it to your phone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Did my first delivery today. It sent me 28 miles out.
Dang.
Ouch. But I think I technically made... If I cut my... The payout was $63 for 3 hours worth of work, and or 3.5 hours worth of work, and I had to spend $14 in tolls and gas to get that. So, you know, made almost $50, pretty much.
I'd rather do that than Uber.
Yeah, I would rather do that than Uber, because I've heard stories of people on Uber. You pick someone up, and then they're trying like carjack you or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or Uber Eats, where your car starts smelling like food.
Yes. You know? Yeah. You can't choose which food you pick up.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, that's about it.
You Mark, watch anything this week?
I watched the movie in question. Yeah, there's some slacking motherfuckers, Destiny 2, man. And that's it.
Man. I'm sorry if we're busy. Jeez.
But, I mean, I didn't watch that much either, but I've played more Red Dead, which continues to be an amazing game. I watched... We had talked about the show but have you ever seen Gods of Egypt? With it's Alex Proyas, you know, who directed The Crow and iRobot. It's like his film he put out a couple years ago. And man, I remember watching it, but I hadn't watched it in a while. And I was in Walmart, and it was on Blu-ray for like $5. You know, I'm like, for $5, I'll buy a copy of this. And I rewatched it the other day, and I'm like, it's really bad, but really good too. Like, I really like it. Like, yeah. It's so apeshit crazy, man, that you can't help but get into it. Like, Gerard Butler's in there, and he's really overacting big time. He's, like, really... And that's why I think it makes it fun. The actors are really having a lot of fun in it.
Is Rami Malek in it?
He might have been. I don't know if I noticed it. You know, I have to relook and see. The girl who plays Elektra in the Daredevil Netflix series. She's in it, and she's just... being sexy and hamming it up and having a good time in the movie. Mm-hmm. I think that's what makes the movie work, is because the actors all are really enjoying what they're doing in it. Yeah, and it's really crazy, and I really kind of liked it, you know. And I think you have to understand where Alex Proyas comes from as a director. He's very stylized. You know, he fought with the studio on iRobot. If he had his way on iRobot, it would have been a much more stylized movie than it actually was. I thought it was a
pretty solid movie.
No, it was, you know. But if you watch Knowing with Nicolas Cage and The Crow and Dark City, you know, his movies are really stylized, you know. And this one is no exception. And he's one of those directors that I feel like... could do more if he gets the right stuff to do. You know, I think he's got a good eye for the screen. And so I sat and watched it, and I actually really enjoy that movie, man. For a $5 pickup, it's good. I can see myself putting in my player more than just once or twice, just sitting back and enjoying something fun. And it sounded really good on the sound bar. Like, it had good. Really good sound, you know.
That's always
I was like, wow, this movie sounds really good. So, but other than that, just playing Red Dead, man, that game continues to be just it'll consume your life, but it's worth every fucking second of it. Maybe one of the best. I mean, I'm maybe 10% in the game, and it's maybe one of the best games I've ever played. I mean, it's just unbelievable. Just the things. I haven't looked for any horse testicles yet, though. So
darn. I was hoping to get a rundown on how detailed the horse testicles were.
No, I've stayed away from horse testicles.
Be like, are they some?
I thought about it for a moment. I was like, I'm going to go close to the TV and see if what Long said was true and look for horse testicles. But I'm like, no, I'm not going to do it. That'd be weird. But a great game. So that's okay. We all kind of slacked a little bit watching stuff this week. But you know, that's okay. There's weeks like that. Next week, we will all make a commitment to watch something this week we haven't seen before. How about that?
That's fair.
Yeah.
We'll watch The Brown Bunny.
And I also, this is going to be the last epic movie of our epic movie.
Right.
I like to apologize to some of our listeners if we did not include Lawrence of Arabia.
Yes.
Right.
It's the epic of all epics.
Well, and I know our friends at Matinee
it's
Heroes.
It's a three-hour movie.
I know our friends at Matinee Heroes. I think they have it coming up on an episode.
Mm-hmm.
And I will give them props. Craig and Alan do a good show where they
it's
talk.
All my all-time favorites.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I have actually not seen it. I've seen parts of it. I've wanted to. I need to sit down and watch it all the way through one day.
Yeah.
You know, because I know it's a really great movie.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes there's a few classics I haven't seen. Like, I've never seen Casablanca either, and it's only 90 minutes long, and I've never watched it.
Seen Ben-Hur.
I've seen really? Ben-Hur's great. I've seen Ben-Hur. Yeah, so, you know, it's happened sometimes. You know, it's okay. There's a lot of movies out there. I've never seen The Godfather all the way through. I've tried 3 or 4 times to watch it. I can't make it more than 30 minutes. And I get bored with it.
Mm-hmm.
Just like, not my thing. So
that kind of thing's not my bag.
I am looking forward to the Netflix The Irishman.
Oh, yeah, I'll watch the shit out of that.
Yeah, I'm very curious.
You mean The Highwayman?
The Irishman.
No, Irishman is the Scorsese film.
Oh, yeah.
I have a Highwayman story. The new Kevin Costner, Woody Harrelson film, where they're going. So I was in Austin a couple weeks ago. I forgot to mention this to you. So I somehow end up going through downtown, which I was trying to avoid because South by Southwest was going on. And I'm driving by, and there's this long line of people, and I'm like, what's going on? There's a marquee in the movie theater. Guess what was premiering? The Highwaymen. I sort of got to witness South by Southwest history there as they were all lined up to go in and see The Highwaymen. I'm thinking, okay, that's cool, but where's Kevin Costner and Woody Harrelson? Probably inside, I'm sure, somewhere. Because I'm sure they were there for the premiere of the film. So that's pretty cool. So
that's neat.
Pretty neat. And South by Southwest is a big, for people that don't know, it's a big movie and music festival that goes on every year in Austin, Texas, and it's become bigger every year now. Like last year, Ready Player One premiered there. A lot more movies are premiering there. It's almost become more film festival now, I think, than it even has music showcase in some ways.
Yeah,
as it gets bigger every year. But too many people for me. God, I had never seen Austin so busy. There were people.
Yeah,
everywhere.
I have a friend who organizes the or helps organize the event.
Yeah.
He tries to get me in to help with the ushering and stuff like that, but I just don't have the time to do it.
Yeah, it's a lot of commitment. So
yeah.
But anyway, so that's all we got for Download This. We've got a lot to talk about today. We've got a really good movie fix to talk about, a lot of news to talk about later. But let's get into today's featured film. I think a modern classic. We're talking directed by Michael Mann. This is pre-Heat Michael Mann, you know, before he had done some crime films. Well, I guess he had done Manhunter at this point, but we're talking 1992's The Last of the Mohicans, starring one of the greatest actors of our time, Daniel Day-Lewis, if not the greatest actor ever. I mean, he might be. I sometimes with Daniel Day-Lewis, I think maybe if he had done more, he would have been the greatest. But he's won 3 Oscars, so.
My Left Foot.
He won for My Left Foot.
Mohicans?
No, he won for Lincoln, My Left Foot, and There Will Be Blood.
Oh,
he should have won for Gangs of New York, but he didn't, because he's Gangs of New York.
Gangs of New York was really good.
Such a great actor. And this movie is an adventure film, but also an epic adventure film, and based on semi-true stories that took place.
Based on a novel, too.
Yeah, and based on a novel and semi-true stories that took place.
And the 1936 movie, which was Michael Mann's first film ever that he can remember, under the same title.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't realize how much of a beautiful woman Madeline Stoll is.
Yeah,
I mean, I've only seen her in trailers for like China Moon or whatever dramatic movie she's been, but I've never actually watched a movie with her in it.
Yeah,
and it was like, wow, and she's a pretty forceful character in her own right.
Mm-hmm. And for me, this is a movie I've seen many, many times. I don't remember the first time I really watched it. Probably discovered it in high school sometime. And for you guys, y'all had never really seen this before.
Yeah.
No,
yeah.
Haven't.
So what are y'all's first impressions on this, on what I think is, it's just a movie I really like a lot.
It's a great movie, but very dark.
Yeah.
Darkly lit. Well,
I watched it in HDX.
It's all shot with natural lighting.
Oh, for real?
Yeah.
Yeah, the natural lighting.
I had
lighting.
To turn off my lights so I don't see the glare of my reflection on the movie.
And honestly, guys, that's my one beef with the remaster. The remaster's version y'all watched. If you watch the older versions that air on TV, it's not as dark. I don't know why the remastered is so dark.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I have found that. But go ahead. What are y'all's initial first impressions?
I liked it. And I wasn't as you said, wasn't prepared how darkly lit the movie was. I had to turn the brightness of my TV up in order to watch it. But other than that, man,
the cinematography is great.
Thank you. Yeah.
The editing is good. I mean, this is the same editor from Forrest Gump, Castaway.
Yeah,
Who Framed Roger Rabbit?
And it's even had a re-edit since, because Michael Mann went back and re-edit. He didn't re-edit heavily, but he changed a few things around.
The only thing I would knock on this, the solo battles are great. Solo battles are great. But the big battles, cannon shots, cannon shots, cannon shots. More cannon shots. And they're like, what else can we add? More cannon shots. So,
I like how a lot of the major characters grow from when we first see them. The British captain, was he major or captain? The one who was betrothed or trying to court. Hayward? Yeah.
Yeah.
Who was trying to court, what's her name? Madeline Stowe's character.
Cora?
Cora, yeah, thank you. That's right. Yeah, and, she was still thinking about marrying him.
Yeah.
And then that moment of truth where he could have told the truth about Daniel Day-Lewis's character. What's his name?
Hawkeye.
Hawkeye. Thank you. Hawkeye's village being burned down by a war party, and he just didn't tell the truth.
It looked like thievery.
And so that was, a big moment for her to decide not to marry the Captain Lelouch.
And he knew he screwed up because he immediately went over to her because he saw her, whenever he gave that false testimony.
Yeah.
And she's like, he's like, hey, how's it going?
Everything's I thought okay. You were a man of principle.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's great. This movie, Hawkeye and Chingachgook and Uncas all get caught up in this, and they don't even want to be part of the French Indian War, but they also want to do the right thing, and they know these people need help, and that's why they're doing it. And those characters grow throughout the film too, and that is one thing about this. I mean,
poor Alice.
In this movie, I love this movie that it's handled well, especially like Wes Studi, who plays Mowgli.
That dude was fucking evil.
Well, the reason he did this film is because when he read the script, it was a film that handled American Indians in a way that weren't, yes, they're villains, but they were also characters too. Like a lot of times Wes Studi said he would get roles and it would just be like yell and scream and be bad and not have any personality to it.
Yeah.
And that's one thing he really liked about this movie is that it gave the American Indians characters. They were part of the film. Motivations. Yeah. They weren't just thrown in there to be bad guys.
Yeah.
And all of them, they all grow throughout the film. Even Mowgli grows in his own way. Unfortunately, it's to be a little more evil towards the end of the movie as he just cannot see the light that you can work with these people, and it cost him in the end, ultimately, But the movie is about growth throughout the film, and that is one thing I really like about it.
Yeah, and there were some surprising character moments in there where the French general gave a lot of leeway for, the British forces to vacate the
you cannot
fort.
Violate the terms of the surrender.
Sacre bleu.
Sacre bleu.
Sorry to our French listeners or French Canadians. Yeah,
we're big in France, man.
But it's definitely a movie that's set in the French and Indian War, a preamble to the American Revolution.
Yeah, and it's all shot in the North Carolina area because they were supposed to shoot this like in upstate New York, which has a lot of forests and stuff, and. And Michael Mann just didn't like that idea. He thought, man, it's too close to the big city. It doesn't have a natural look. And this area they shot in North Carolina was log cabin building areas back in the late 1800s, and it still had that feel.
Yeah.
And it's got some incredible cinematography in this movie.
Appalachian.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's a really beautifully shot film. Daniel Day-Lewis, who is known for going to extremes for his roles,
method acting,
even went out and lived in the wilderness for like 2 or 3 weeks.
Not only
to
that,
prepare for the role.
But he got proficient with a musket.
Yeah.
And Michael Mann was like, he could bullseye with a musket, over and over and over again. And I'm like, that's badass, dude.
Yeah,
Daniel Day-Lewis, man, that dude does not screw around. He was like Robert Downey Jr.
Oh, yeah, and Tropic Thunder. I'm the dude playing a dude that's supposed to be another dude.
And I have seen most of
the
movies.
Or Gay Monk.
Yeah, Gay Monk.
Sorry.
That's okay. Most of the movies that Daniel Day-Lewis has done, I've seen, and this is probably my favorite role in him, and I think it's because it is his most accessible role, because you identify with Hawkeye and you want him to do the right thing. It's hard to identify with.
I didn't realize he was such an action.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's hard to identify with the guy he played in There Will Be Blood or Bill the Butcher in Gangs of New York, but this is the one character, Daniel Day-Lewis.
I like him in Lincoln.
Yeah, really Lincoln is really good, too.
I think that's my favorite Lewis role.
And you could have, and he's such an incredible. And this was also the first movie a lot of people saw Daniel Day-Lewis in was Last Mohicans, because I think the next year My Left Foot came out. I believe it was 93, the year after, and he won the Oscar. You know, and this movie unfortunately wasn't as well marketed as wanted to be. And Michael Mann fought with the studio on this because they felt they made a really good movie, and the studio, I can't remember what it was up against, but it was put up against another big film that came out, and people went to see that instead.
It was like Black Robe.
It was that.
It was the name of the film was Black Robe, and there's much more violence in that film. I don't even
remember that movie.
Like you can hear like skulls cracking in that film, and that's what the big hoorah was about it. Is Black Robe, I believe it's Black Robe, it's Black something, had a lot of brutal violence, and it's like, but to this film's credit, there's some brutal violence in this film.
Right.
The
scalping. I mean,
you can see the scalping.
Man. Yeah, it's pretty casual.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it just happens. And but it's not an overly brutally rated R film, you know, this movie at all. It's very much a realism of that time, that kind of warfare, the kind of the brutalness that's in this movie.
Yeah,
yeah. My biggest beef against the movie was the way this remastered edition I watched it, the Michael Mann one. It was pretty dark. I had to adjust my television to see what was going on, you know, and I was tempted to just take a picture of my backyard in pitch black and send it to y'all and say, this is my experience so far watching this movie in pitch black, but no.
And a lot of it was shot with natural light. A lot of it shot overnight. There was one time they were shooting overnight that Michael Mann was complaining about orange light in the background. They're like, Michael, that's the sun coming up. We've been shooting so long. You know, so they shot a lot of long nights to get that look. And he, Michael Mann was against a lot of lighting on set and everything. He wanted everything to look like natural. And it comes across on screen that way.
They were so devoted to entertaining people that they put the crew in a raging river. And they're like, is this safe? I don't know, but it sure is entertaining. Let's do it.
What's the, what was that movie with Leo DiCaprio last year?
When he was The Revenant?
Yes.
I have The Revenant.
That movie was shot all natural light.
Wow.
No lighting equipment. So
that's pretty brutal, man. Whenever the grizzlies, like, just slinging them everywhere.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Did he get raped by the bear?
It kind of looked just that way.
Or was that was just a
I think it was joke. A meme. It was a meme, yeah.
Okay, he didn't get raped.
No.
Just, people just making shit up. And it became a meme because of it or something.
Yeah, it did become a meme for a bit. I do remember that.
Yeah. So anyways, Last of the Mohicans, I remember, well, I saw it yesterday. I started watching it during my 1 hour lunch.
Right.
And I then my lunch was always like, oh, I have to stop, you know. So thankfully, you know, it was a good. Glad I finished.
I was hoping that one day the movie would always been successful enough that Michael Mann would release a 3 hour cut that actually apparently still exists out there, that the studio made him cut down. But Michael Mann has since then said he's happy with the 112 minute cut that's out there now. So I don't know if we'll ever get it. But one of my I like about this movie is the last 20 minutes. Man, when they capture Korra back. And Korra and Alice, the girls, and that whole scene at the end of the film where they're running and trying to get to safety, I think it's so well shot. It's all done. It's very reminiscent of Michael Mann did this in Heat during the bank robbery scene. You know, it's all noise and shooting. There's no dialogue, and that's what that scene is in the end of Last Mohicans. They're running. It's all music, and there's no dialogue. Or like when Magwe and Uncas fight each other, and you see the pain in his eyes, and he dies, and Alice kills herself, you know, and it's just like, it's incredibly, incredibly shot, and it's emotional as all be, you know, and then
she was sickly, wasn't she?
Yeah,
yeah.
And then Chingachgook, you know, he knows his brother died or his son, you know, and he has to live with that. And you feel it, and when they're standing, and then the film ends perfectly when they're standing, looking out over the land, and paying respects to the people they lost.
Chingachgook, man, I'm watching this thing the whole time, and I'm like, how did you get a hold of a Klingon warblade?
Right, and he's so awesome in the film, and
I'm surprised he was the one that killed Magwa.
Yeah,
you know.
And that's another thing. It's an interesting. I thought
it would have been Daniel Day-Lewis. Out of his socket.
The Hawkeye would have done it, but yeah, in some ways he avenged his son because of that.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
And it's a remarkable. The last 20 minutes of this movie are so good.
Yeah.
You know.
And the captain.
Mm-hmm.
The captain actually redeems himself by sacrificing his place
mm-hmm.
for
at the end of the movie the
Hawkeye's yeah. place. So, but yeah, I enjoyed the movie. I don't think I'll watch it again, but it's a great movie.
See, for me, this is one that like I like this movie. Like, if it's on TV, I stop and watch it. This yeah. is one of those that's for me that I really, really like it a lot.
Yeah.
Maybe
it's because it was such a downer of an ending.
Maybe
know,
so.
Yeah.
For me personally, you know,
but I
bittersweet though. It's a bittersweet, not totally downer.
I tend to like movies that have down endings. I don't know what does that say about me.
That's probably
you do like Empire.
Yeah.
Best.
Empire is the best.
You're like, everything's all fucked up at the end. That's why I like
you know?
It.
Yeah.
It's like, I kissed my sister, my dad cut off my arm.
Maybe so. Maybe, I don't
my
know.
Friends
maybe
got
that says
frozen.
A lot about me. I like downer movies.
You like Glory?
I like Glory.
They all died in there.
I like think about it. I like Braveheart we did a few weeks ago.
Yeah,
we
should have done Glory.
That's another one we should have done, yeah. too. Glory.
I say Roadhouse, man. I want Roadhouse for my birthday.
When's your birthday?
September. And it's actually September 14th is Patrick Swayze's birthday. His birthday is 3 days after mine and one day after my grandfather's. So.
Very interesting. You know, they used, for this film, hundreds of Native Americans. They actually cast, you know,
yeah.
which Michael Mann felt was important to the film. You know, a lot of these movies that do this, unfortunately, will cast Hispanics because, you know, they're dark-skinned and they look, you know, can look American Indian. And Michael Mann was like, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to make this authentic as I can be. And then Wes Studi, you know, had said that a lot of them spoke their own languages. And Michael Mann was okay with that, and they just used subtitles if they needed to on screen or whatever
yeah.
Yeah.
for what was saying. I thought that was a really cool thing that they wanted it to be as authentic as possible, and that was something that was really important to Michael Mann.
Yeah, I'm watching it streaming on Amazon, so I have subtitles on to watch it. Sometimes the English accents go really quick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then, like...
Well, that's like cool.
So they're speaking in Huron. And you've seen the subtitle, yeah. and freaking Netflix says here on, you know,
right.
native speak. It's like, get those subtitles out of the way. You don't need a subtitle on top of subtitles, you goofs.
Subtitle, you know. The subtitle.
So, anyways, it's a great movie.
Yeah, and like I said, one of my favorite Daniel Day-Lewis roles in one of my favorite movies, and something I will watch again, even if LT Prime does it.
I don't hate it.
No, I know. Yeah. But no, it's a good film. I'm glad y'all got to experience it.
I thoroughly enjoyed it, though.
Yeah,
I give it an A.
Yeah, it's something that's been on the back burner. Me and Matt, I think, talked about doing it last summer before you joined the show. So we've been wanting to talk this film for a while, and it just felt like a good time to do
it.
How
would you score it?
I think it's a B plus.
B plus? Yeah.
I feel like the romance is too convenient.
Mm.
Maybe that's harsh, but I feel like the romance isn't as good as, like, say, Braveheart.
Mm.
I don't think the romance is there as far as like the relationship versus like that one couple you see at the beginning. I feel like that couple at the beginning has a more established relationship, and they spend all this time trying to force this relationship with Daniel Day-Lewis's character.
Yeah.
And I feel like it's not as good. Mm-hmm. As it probably should have been,
mm-hmm.
But everything else is good. I mean, the one-on-one battles, Daniel Day-Lewis, just the way that they use the Indians here, I feel like they may be better used than Dances with Wolves. Mm-hmm. You could make that argument.
This has one of my favorite musical scores of all time in a movie, too.
Very good music.
The music score?
I like it.
I don't know.
Well, some of the... There's, like, happy music playing whenever there's people dying and laying dead. That's probably my only.
I think
that.
Dances, like, with Wolves had the better score.
Better score for. I think if they placed the music differently in this film, then it would be better.
Especially that ending scene, the music works so well.
The ending scene works
the non dialogue and the music going.
It does come together at the end.
Randy Edelman did go on to write music for Gettysburg, which is a really, really good score.
Yeah.
You know?
And we didn't even talk the cave scene in this movie. Has been actually inspired a lot of films where he's like, no matter what, I'll find you. I will find you. That scene has actually been replayed in several movies since.
Yeah.
You know, even Tom Cruise's, we did Mission Impossible 2 a few weeks ago. that scene where he tells Maya, "I will find you no matter what." Cruise and John Woo have talked that they took that directly from this film.
Wow.
From The Last of the Mohicans, where he tells Maya, "I'm going to find you no matter what." You know, so that, and there's been, I read somewhere, there's been other few movies that have had that scene
repeated.
That's
how good his acting was, Daniel Day-Lewis.
Yeah. Oh, man, Lewis is incredible. You know, and it's a shame he's now retired from acting.
Yeah.
I was hoping he would just stick around a little bit longer and do a couple more things, you know.
He only did the handful of movies.
He's done, I looked up when I was researching this movie, he's only has like 25 acting credits.
Why is he quitting? Because he just puts too much of himself in it?
Too much, yeah. Yeah, and he wants to enjoy some time with his wife as they get ready. Because I guess she's a film producer, and I guess she's retiring too. So they're just going to enjoy their time together.
Wow.
You know, because he is, what, 67 now, I think, something. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I guess he's
dang.
Is he that old? Now I have to look. You know, I have to look if we mention it.
Yeah.
But, you know.
While Mark's looking, let's get on to the news.
News. The Meg 2 is in production.
Oh, snap.
Hell yes.
Oh, man. The Meg 2, some killer shark action.
You know what?
Killer Shaq.
I believe
he'll be 62 at the end of the year.
Oh, that's not too old. So, that's not too bad.
So
I feel like Jason Statham is coming back for sure. Well, we'll see. That's going to be really, really entertaining.
He likes the water. He's a former
Hobbs
Olympic
and Shaw
diver.
Movie still looks stupid as fuck.
What was
the Hobbs and Shaw movie? It looks so stupid.
I haven't even seen the commercial.
They showed the trailer when I saw Captain Marvel. I'm like, God, this looks terrible.
Yeah.
We went from heisting cars to being superheroes. That's like
what?
It's almost like a superhero. It's like they're trying to make Shaw and Hobbs like these almighty save the world like super cops. It looks ridiculous.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, it looks really bad.
Yeah.
So anyway.
Interesting.
So we'll start with the trailers that came out this week, man. We had three of them that I am by my count. We'll start with Stranger Things, Season 3.
Oh, my gosh.
You know, the only reason I even keep Netflix, really, honestly, is waiting for this. Man, I love the first... We all love the first two seasons of the show. And, man, that trailer just like... Can it be July 4th already? You know, not that... I mean, it just looks fantastic.
Yeah, they were laying it thick on the...
You know
the July 4th theme.
And, you know, I was really worried that the Duffer Brothers said it was a one trick pony. You know, season one was only, you know, they designed it to only be 8 episodes. It was never supposed to be more. And when you hear that, you think, man, is it going to be really good? But they were able to maintain the quality with season two. And it seems like they have a plan now. They're saying, I think it's going to be 4, maybe 5 seasons. They have a plan. And the way they're designing it, so the kids don't grow up too fast. They're doing it on purpose. They want the kids to be a year and a half older, you know, and I think it's brilliant.
They have grown.
Yeah.
Yeah, that trailer, man. What'd you think? We were just going to stay in our basement and play games all the time?
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, man, there's some freaking drama here.
Yeah, and then the money shot at the end of the trailer with the big Demogorgon.
Friggin' mutated
I was like,
Demogorgon.
Holy shit, man, you know?
Yeah,
and,
it's about to get real.
So it looks great, man. I can't wait. I think everyone's excited for it, you know? Like I said, now that there's no Daredevil Marvel stuff on, Stranger Things about the best reason to have Netflix. So we'll see how that goes. John Wick 3.
Yes. Hell yes.
I mean...
Only briefly glanced the trailer because I didn't want to get spoiled.
Take another glance.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I honestly didn't feel it spoiled too much. It just gave us a little bit more of what the first trailer gave us.
Halle Berry looks hot.
Yeah.
She does.
But,
she
man...
looks hot.
I know everyone's waiting for Endgame, and I know Long's waiting for Godzilla, but yeah, I can't wait to see John Wick. I'm really excited about this one. And we have a little more Keanu Reeves news in a minute. The last trailer, man, Quentin Tarantino, we finally got a look at his 9th film. He keeps saying he's only making 10 films. So that's why he calls it the 9th film. But it's Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. And I guess the story is about an actor and a stunt double and their time in the summer of the Sharon Tate murder and the Charles Manson murders. And I guess Margot Robbie plays Sharon Tate. And, you know, just like with any Tarantino trailer, you watch the trailer, you're like, wow, it looks awesome, and you have no idea what it's about.
Yeah.
I mean, but that's how Tarantino works.
I was impressed
by Bruce Lee.
Yeah, thank you.
I talk. I can't do a Bruce Lee impression, but
if I fight, I might injure you.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's like,
the Bruce Lee person was awesome.
Yeah.
Really good impersonation.
Yeah.
Very good.
And I felt like that could have been Bruce.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Almost.
I mean, I'm watching the trailer, and it's almost like... just from the trailer, it's like, you know, Leo and Brad are going to get award nominations already. And Margot Robbie can do whatever she wants. I mean, she's beautiful and good. She's not just a beautiful face. She's a really good actress.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and I wasn't super excited. I still haven't seen The Hateful Eight, which is strange for me not.
Oh, you haven't seen it on your vacation?
I still need to watch it.
What the F is the matter with you?
I wasn't super excited for it for some reason. But, like, I'm really excited for this Tarantino film. You know, for some reason. It looks really good, man. And I will get to The Hateful Eight. Maybe that'll be what I watch this week.
Yeah.
You know, for download this. So, Quentin Tarantino. It comes out this July.
Step on it.
Quentin Tarantino. Which is where usually Tarantino releases movies in the fall. But this is a summer movie for him. Coming out this summer. So, we'll see.
There was a 30-second Godzilla TV spot
called
Intimidation.
Oh. Really?
Yeah. It was good.
I think I might have seen it. I was watching something the other night. I think they might have showed it.
Yeah. But that's about it.
Did you see that Benedict Cumberbatch is saying that he will not get paid more than his female co-stars, which I'm glad, because in his first solo movie, he only got $2.5 million, and Brie Larson got paid $5 million. So I'm glad he's demanding a pay raise.
Okay.
I had a friend that posted that, and I was like, "He's like, Benedict will only take the same pay as his female co-stars," and I was like, "Great, he gets a raise." That's like whenever Rob Schneider came out with that, everyone laughed. Because Rachel McAdams got paid more than
Rob
him.
Rob Schneider, I think a couple weeks ago, was being a mega douche.
Yeah,
on a radio show.
Apparently, people they don't want to hire him for anything anymore.
Yeah.
I mean, would you?
Not really, man.
He had an 8 o'clock appointment for a radio spot to promote something, and then he got butthurt because they were 15 minutes late to bring him in.
Yeah.
You know? And so it's like, I'm Rob Schneider. I should be waiting 15 minutes. You know, la, 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 la.
I'm a C-list actor.
Yeah.
I'm a T-shirt.
Nobody cares.
Yeah.
More Keanu Reeves news, man. So I guess him and Alex Winter officially announced their fixed start production of Bill and Ted Face the Music. You know, why am I not excited about this? You know, like,
I just feel like it can't go wrong.
I want to see how they face the music.
My thing
about
is,
not being the Wild Stallions.
My thing is the original is like
the first two are great.
Yeah. Really, you think Bogus Journey's good?
Oh, yeah, it holds up. Just rewatch it. It's so funny.
I just feel like
some of the jokes I didn't find funny back then, but they're funnier now.
Legacy sequels are a thing now, you know. But there's sometimes I just feel like, I mean, like Keanu Reeves is, you know, he's almost 60. You know, Keanu Reeves is like 57. You know, he's older than people think he is. It just feels weird doing a movie about Slacker. I wouldn't call them stoners because there was really weed jokes in the movies.
No.
But it just feels kind of like weird. I don't know. We'll see. Hopefully, you know, we thought Cobra Kai wasn't going to be good. It turned out great. So that's why I'm holding out optimism that hopefully it comes together. And Keanu seems like he's made a career turn and is making good choices. So hopefully he wouldn't do it, you know, unless it was
a very good script.
A good script. You know, Alex Winter doesn't, I don't think he's acted anything in years. So
he's done the lobby.
He's like a movie producer now behind the scenes.
Yeah.
So we'll see how it comes together, you know. Maybe it'll turn out great, you know. And I guess they're going to shoot for a summer release next year. So is that weird? We will have Bill and Ted in theaters and Top Gun in theaters next year.
Wow.
That's weird, huh?
Interesting.
It's okay. Yeah.
It's like the 80s coming back around. Yeah.
Kong versus Godzilla is coming out next year.
Is that next year too?
Yeah.
Yes.
So we have the 1950s and the 80s coming back to theaters. That's okay. Noah Centineo? Who is this guy? He's going to play fucking He-Man?
Yeah.
I've never heard of him.
Never heard of him either.
And he looks scrawny.
Maybe he's going to play He-Man before he gets all.
There was a report that he's playing Prince Adam.
Yeah.
So who's going to play He-Man?
The Rock.
You can't CGI He-Man. Well, I guess you could nowadays with the way they did the Hulk, but He-Man's still a real person. The Hulk is a creature. I don't know, man. No, I don't want The Rock to be
He-Man.
That's
into
too
a
easy.
Suit.
Dave Bautista.
Bautista.
He's huge.
You know what? Maybe.
He might play Skeletor.
I mean, I really want a good He-Man movie, and I know our friend Justin Corbett, I know he wants a really good He-Man movie. He's a big He-Man fan.
Dolph Lundgren.
I don't know. Do the 80s show still hold up?
They're a little cheesy now when you watch them.
Yeah.
But you know what's funny? The Master of the Universe movie is cheesy, but it's a product of its time.
Yeah, it is.
But I think He-Man could... there's potential. I think it could be good if it's done right. You know?
Speaking of which, I did sit down and watch She-Ra.
Did you? I heard it's actually really good.
Reboot. Hmm. Yeah, it's not bad.
You know?
Yeah. I actually sat down and watched the entire thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I guess season 2 is coming next month.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
So,
we'll Ultraman. See Ultraman.
Yeah, has that hit yet?
It's really soon.
The trailer looked really cool.
Yeah, yeah. And Ultraman has been one of those... the rest of the world's been enjoying Ultraman, but us, because they haven't been able to
get
the rights, because two Japanese entertainment companies were fighting over the rights.
Okay.
And now finally they cleared it up, and now they can finally start showing Ultraman.
That's what I forgot to mention. Download this. I didn't watch all of it, but I watched about 4 of the episodes of that Love, Sex, and Robots.
Oh, yeah. How is it so far?
It's really good. I like it. It's animated really well. It's different styles.
Yeah.
But so far,
I added it to my list.
Yeah, so far I like it. They're quick, so you can watch them pretty quickly. You know, I don't think any of them are longer than 17 minutes, as long as one.
Really?
And so yeah, felt like the first 4 went by pretty quick.
Yeah.
But so far, so good.
Because the stories and all that. Yeah. Yeah.
So good stuff.
That's a David Fincher production.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. He said that he wanted to do something really, really cool.
Yeah.
And he did. Was it Love, Sex, and Robots? Mm-hmm.
And one of the animators on it is
I'll watch it for animated.
Wants
movies.
To do a heavy wants to do a heavy metal remake, but he wants to do it animated, and that's why they produce.
Cool.
And that's why they produce this, to show that it can be done, and there's a market for adult animation.
Yeah.
So we actually have a request for heavy metal.
I know a place for adult animation.
My friend Naomi has requested heavy metal, and she wants to come on the show when we do it and talk it with us.
Hell yeah!
So I told her probably sometime in June, because we kind of have things planned until Compalooza. So, yeah.
Is it streaming?
No, and I don't... But I think it's cheap. I think you can get it for like $5 on Blu-ray.
I've been meaning to add that to my personal
library. I'll have to look and see if it's streaming anywhere. So the Disney-Fox deal is final, guys. You know, at first everybody thought, oh, this is a great idea. You know, they'll have the X-Men and Fantastic Four. Now the fallout's happening, and it's not as pretty as people thought it would be. A lot of people losing jobs. Studios closing. Fox Searchlight.
Fox 2000.
There's some talk though that Fox Searchlight might be next. You know, they gave us The Shape of Water last year.
Yeah.
Yeah,
but they don't have Disney doesn't have an independent.
Not anymore, and that's the thing. There's been a lot of rumor that Disney's bringing back Touchstone Pictures for like their to put movies like The Planet of the Apes, if they do those, to put them under those banners. You know, so there's been a lot of rumor about that, but no one knows yet. But the dark side of this merger is coming. You know, apparently all the Fox Sports stuff they bought, they may sell off. Franchises like
those are owned by the Murdochs still.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Franchises like Alien, they're talking about making them TV shows and stuff instead of movies. So, you know, it's a high price to pay just to have the X-Men and Fantastic Four in the MCU, and that's all the fans saw at first. They thought, oh, that's a good idea, but now, I don't know, man, a big studio, it's like, it's kind of scary to think that it's possible it could only be Disney and Warner Brothers in a couple of years, ruling the entertainment industry.
So far, they're still Universal, Sony, Warner Brothers, and Disney.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But Disney, man, they own it all. And I did a little poll on our Twitter we only got like 6 votes. I was hoping more people vote, but I don't really retweet enough. Just asking what franchise people would want to see more of between Planet of the Apes, Aliens, Predator, and Power Rangers. And Planet of the Apes won the poll, and Power Rangers actually had the second most votes. I was surprised, you know, on that. So that's what people want to see. I think people are a little...
Is it being rebooted?
No, apparently they were moving forward with a sequel in the last movie, but I don't know where that stands now from the merger. So we'll see. You know, and...
Well, with Disney, the bright side is that most movie studios, they make movies to make a profit. But Disney, they make movies to make more movies.
Right.
That's their philosophy.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's a silver lining.
Yeah. And I, me personally, I do hope they continue the Planet of the Apes franchise. And I hope they continue from World War for the Planet of the Apes left off, because I really was enjoying that so far.
Its own thing.
Yeah. And, but along with this news does come that apparently LucasArts is coming back. Apparently Disney is actively working very quickly to buy all the Star Wars license back from EA. And if everything goes well...
They can just take it whenever they want.
Yeah, Disney has enough money.
EA hasn't been living up to the contract.
No, not at all. So it looks like LucasArts will be coming back in this, and that's a good thing, because LucasArts, I think, made some great stuff, you know?
Yeah.
And, so, good Star Wars games.
Although there was a clarification on that story since then, that Lucasfilm has always had a a department of liaisons to take care of the video game properties.
Yeah.
But they're really just hiring just to beef up that division within Lucasfilm. They're not really restarting LucasArts.
And what's strange is now, you know, Disney did not own the distribution rights for the original Star Wars films, and now they do again. So, you know, expect new Blu-ray releases probably and things like that.
Original cuts.
What's strange is, though, about this, you know, Disney is not real good about letting repertory theaters re-show their films. So, you know, there were a lot of, like, Alamo Draft Houses that would show Die Hard and Aliens on the big screen. And now we might lose all that unless Disney changes their ways on that. But Disney is not good about letting their films be shown and after they're in their archives. So there are some downsides to this whole thing, but hopefully it all works out in the end.
There's still Warner Brothers and Universal.
Yeah. True.
And Sony.
And the last bit of news I have out of all this is that the Star Wars films that are being made by the Game of Thrones producers look like they're further along than we believe and could start production as early as this fall.
Yeah.
You know, and so, you know, because it seems like Rian Johnson's trilogy that he's making, that he's still working on, is might be a few more months away than we thought. But it looks like, D.B. Weiss and Benioff, how you say his last name?
Benioff.
Looks like they're about ready to roll here real soon once they finish up the final season of Game of Thrones here.
And set we'll get during going. The Old Republic
era. Yeah. It's been the rumor it's Old Republic. And, you know, it's funny, the internet's all ablaze, like, oh, who's going to play Darth Revan and all this? That doesn't necessarily mean it's going to be those characters. It just means the Old Republic era.
Yeah.
You know, so there's a lot of difference.
That's a 10,000-year history
so, to cover. But it would be interesting to see. I mean, I think that you'd be a fool if you're going to set in that era to not bring in some of those popular characters from
the
games.
Although there are mentions of them in the new canon.
Yeah.
Darth Bane, he's so, official.
Yeah.
I've read those books.
Yeah?
Yeah, those are... I highly recommend it. Yeah. The trilogy, Darth Bane trilogy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. If you enjoyed the Mass Effect and Dragon Age, it was written by Drew Karpyshyn.
Yeah.
And he's the main writer for the first two Mass Effects.
Okay.
And Darth Bane, I highly recommend it. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Cool. So, that's all the news I had. Unless I left anything off.
No.
So.
I think that's it.
Longest thinking really hard.
No, that's it.
Well, we are getting ready to gear up for, like we said earlier.
I mentioned my Godzilla. That's all that matters.
Comic-Palooza. And so in doing so, the next month of April, starting next weekend with the end of March, and going through all the way till Avengers Endgame come out, we're going to do a theme month, and we're calling it Space and Beyond. You liked it?
Yes.
That was impressive.
Beyond.
And so we're going to talk some really cool flicks over the next few weeks. So we're going to start it all off with a movie that's fixing to celebrate. This makes me feel really fucking old, but it's fixing to celebrate its 20th anniversary, and that is The Matrix.
You were so sure was real. What if you were unable to wake from that dream? How would you know the difference between the dream world and the real world?
What is happening to me?
The answer is out there, Neo. It's the question that drives us.
What is the Matrix?
The Matrix is the world that has been pulled over your eyes to blind you from the truth.
What truth?
They're watching you, Neo.
Human beings are a disease. You are a cancer of this planet. And we are the cure.
Get me the hell out of here!
Welcome to the real world.
So you're here to save the world.
So what do you need? Guns. Lots of guns.
No one has ever done anything like this.
That's why it's going to work.
Buckle your seatbelt, Dorothy. Because Kansas is going bye-bye.
We'll be right back.
Unfortunately, no one can be told what the Matrix is. You have to see it for yourself.
Yes. This movie came out in 1999, and let's just, not to sound cliche, but it blew people away. I mean, it was a very impressive film when it came out. Keanu Reeves at that point, his career wasn't exactly gangbusters, but he comes out with this film, and people really liked it a lot.
Yeah.
I remember seeing it in theaters and thinking, wow, that's really cool. It was something that, it was at the time it came out, it was something new and hadn't been seen before. Yeah. Now it's been copied many times with the bullet time and all that.
Oh, gosh.
But
that era.
And
those couple of years,
oh, yeah,
it was always parodied. The bullet time thing was always parodied.
Bulletproof monk.
but it's a good movie, and I think it still holds up well 20 years later, so it should be a fun one to talk about. And look back on this. It's been a while since I've watched it. But, you know, look back on where we've come in 20 years, and because I think The Matrix is safe enough to call that it was a game changer
in
the way science fiction was done. You know, that science fiction could be done from a different scale. It wasn't just spaceships and other planets. It could be done through computers and computer systems, too. And there has been a lot of copycats since. But I think it's safe to say it was a game changer for that time. So it should be fun to talk about next week. Y'all have any preview thoughts on The Matrix?
Yeah, I remember walking out of that theater, and I definitely felt like I've never seen anything like that in my life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, I remember watching a YouTube video about Will Smith talking about the pitch.
Yeah.
And they're like, imagine you jump in the air, and the camera goes around you.
But too bad he turned it down.
And he's like, nah. And he passed. And he's like, but it would have been messed up anyways. It was going to be me. And then Morpheus was going to be Val Kilmer. He's like, turned out great the way it was. I have to agree with Will Smith.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
He went on to do Wild Wild West. Bad choice.
That's true. So next week, we will take the blue pill and go into The Matrix. That's impressive. I pulled that out. He's like,
I can tell. I mean, you
Rage
40,
Against the Machine.
You know, a blue pill is
Bulls
you know,
on Parade.
Probably something you have to
wake that's up. It was reloaded. Wake up at the end of the movie. Yeah, it's awesome. So that's next week as we get ready for Space and Beyond Month on the Rebel Radio Podcast. So, and as always, go to therebelradiopodcast.com and check us out for all your episodes. Yes. And we're on all apps.
Swipe right.
Leave us a review so we can read it on the show on iTunes. Mm-hmm. Buy a t-shirt while you're there if you want. Support the show, you know.
Coffee
and follow us on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram and all those good things.
Yes.
And we thank you all for your support as always. And on our new app, we're on Podcoin, where you can listen and earn coinage to buy yourself gift cards or donate to charity.
Or donate to charity. And it's like 1.5 points
for
like...
So you can find us on Podcoin now, too.
Food or something.
It's 10 points per 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, not bad.
Not bad at all.
So, but as always, this has been Mark.
This has been Matt.
This is LT Primatron.
Beep, beep, beep. Beep, boop, beep.
And until next week, just go there and do it.
Do it.
This is Ming Chen from AMC's Comic Book Man. I love Houston. I love podcasting. But what I really love is the Rebel Radio Podcast.